I guess the best way to practice is to get out there where the people are, and then if you switched from America to another field, like I was saying about Rebecca's situation and her testimony, her folks, Dennis and Karen, work in the bus ministry in Calvary. They worked there for years. The Birds probably, no doubt, remember them. And they continue to work in that bus ministry. I had just jokingly said to people, well, all over, actually, and I said, well, her mother probably went through the drive-thru to have her and then got her on the bus. And the reason I say that is because of the fact that when Rebecca came over to Albania, you know, working in the bus ministry has its challenges, and working in Albania as well has its challenges, especially when you live next to a gypsy compound. And you find people that, you know, well, they have lice in their hair, and they live that way. And many of the children in the summertime used to get their hair cut, you know, all the way off, even girls. And I was thinking, why do the girls get their hair cut off? And they say, oh, yeah, to make your hair stronger. Then after I had a little girl with hair, I realized, oh, that's why. Okay, bugs in the hair, right? And so, you know, dirty kids and bugs in the hair takes a special kind of person to be able to do that. And I wonder what those refugees look like, you know, after being on boats and containers and, you know, living in that kind of situation, and what they look like. Are we able to really reach out to them and to, you know, meet their needs? And so anyway, Rebecca came to us in that way. And I guess that's how you learn how she came to us in that way, meaning she knows how to work with. You got to help me up here. You know, I got Brother Gilmore down there, Pastor Roberts, you know, and I'm saying I'm going to preach to them. They preached to me all these years. Now. But anyway, you know, that's, I guess that's how it's done, is that you just do it where you are, and then when you're called, you're just ready to go out and do it somewhere else. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. But anyway, 17 years ago, we went to Albania, and it was quite interesting to go to the airport there when Jennifer and I went on our first survey trip in 94. We didn't speak any Albanian. We didn't know not even a word of Albanian. But got off the plane, we surely understood automatic language. You know what automatic language is? It's when you are greeted by the police officer and he has an automatic in his hand and he's pointing it in the direction in which he wants you to go. You understand real well automatic language. You automatically understand what is happening. And then you go inside the airport and you go inside and you're looking for the carousel for your bag, and there's no carousel. There's a train that comes in with your bags on it. They throw them on the ground and everybody just kind of takes a diving leap. Make sure you get your right bag, and you go on. You step outside of the airport. You're going outside and it's gravel. You're wondering, what is this? What place, kind of a place is this? And people reaching for your bag, taxi, give me money, all those things were happening at the time, at that time. Well, Dave and Faye went there when they were 54 years old. That's when they started. And that is very, very commendable to me. Because how many people would leave the area that they're in and go to a place where in the wintertime, because it rains, water comes three times a day? You know, would you do that? And then electricity on and off. Telephone, long line on the road with cards to have a telephone. Those were the conditions. So when they picked us up and put us in the Land Rover, Stephen was 2 years old. Faye looked at him and said, we are going to have fun with him, this little two-year-old boy. But I say that to say that that was a day that just my whole life was changed from then until now. And as we look at the scriptures And you see Matthew chapter 28, if you'll go there with me in Matthew chapter 28. I'm a missionary, so I'm going to give you a missionary message tonight. Amen. And Matthew chapter 28 is a great joy to preach to you. Verses 16 through 20 we're going to consider this evening. We see in Matthew chapter 28, this is a day that would change the disciples' lives forever. They're no longer just, you know, a group of men whom Jesus taught. Rather, they are the disciples of Jesus Christ. They are the ones to do His work. In verse number 16, it tells us, if we could read that together, and I'll have you read some of the scriptures, but I would like for us together to read verse number 16. You read, and I'm going to read with you just verse number 16. Ready? Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Very good. We see here, first of all, we see the place. The Lord gives us the place. The disciples met Him in Galilee. Matthew states the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Paul states in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 6, it says, He was seen above 500 brethren at once. Now, I want us to consider that this was, and commentators, you know, back and forth on this, and some of them are, they don't say whether what kind of meeting this really was. But some of the faithful sources say that this was a mass meeting that was taking place. Look at verse number 17. And it says there, and when they saw Him, they worshiped. What's that next part say? But some doubted, right? Okay, but some doubted. So the some doubting, the disciples are surely not doubting the 11. We know in John chapter 20 and verse number 19, it says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were all shut, the disciples were assembled. Why were the disciples assembled? For fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. So the disciples, knowing the Lord is resurrected, the disciples know that this had taken place, and so why would they have room to doubt? Could have been a mass meeting there. And I believe personally that this is a mass meeting taking place with Jesus Christ being the head. If you go and don't turn there yet, but if you have it in your scripture, you can see in verse number 1, we see it's the first day of the week. Now, if you don't get the idea of the local church being there, wow. Well, you probably need to read again what is taking place here, because this is a pattern for us to get together. Now, Pastor Roberts is not Jesus Christ, but surely He is the shepherd of these sheep that are here. Am I right or wrong? Right? Okay, we are right. Okay. And we see clearly what's happening here. Look at verse number 17, the reason why they are there. Verse number 17. And what's the first part of it say? Let's read it together. And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him. Very good. What was the reason to get together? For worship, right? They went there to worship the Lord. Now, what is worship? Help me now. Don't be so quiet now. You know, I'm the one doing the public speaking here. I should be the most scared, right? You should just be sitting there. Oh, yeah, okay. But what is worship? Pastor's going to say something, but somebody else needs to say something. We'll leave Pastor not say anything, okay? Because I know he knows. Plus, if he's wrong, he doesn't follow my outline, then, oh, he looks bad. No. Help me, say something. Pastor Philip. Oh, that's exactly it. They wanted to lift Him up. Do you agree with that? Absolutely. Smart man, okay? Right, exactly. That's what worship is, by the way. It is the humbling of one for the purpose of lifting up another. Think about it. Think about it tonight. Here you are at McGuanago Baptist Church. Let me ask, is there anything else that you can do besides be here tonight? How is your list of things that you could be doing tonight besides being here? But you put all those things down, right? You humble yourself for the purpose of lifting another up. Let me ask about the singing tonight. You had a wonderful time of singing tonight, right? You have to actually put your song down to sing another song to raise another up, right? Let me ask about the offering tonight. You took an offering tonight, right? What are all the other things that you could have done with that money that you put in the plate? Wow! Unlimited. But you put yours down for the, you put that down for the raising up of another. And the disciples here in verse number 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. And as we know, there are a couple ideas here. I'm just going to give you one idea of this, which is an idea that I like. Okay. The Greek, when it illustrates this, it says the strangest thing when it illustrates it. Does anybody know what it says? Okay. Here it is. It's like this. Yeah, Heather, I thought your husband might know because he knows everything. Okay, he's got the Greek Bible right there. Okay, but the Greek Bible, the Greek illustration is what I'm looking for, not the word. Okay, but anyway, the illustration that the Greek gives us is a dog. A dog? How's that work? In our neighborhood, I have a bunch of witnesses on this row right here. Tata Ricky is one of them, okay? Ricky Lambrecht. She used to live there as well. We don't have necessarily house dogs or dogs that are, you know, for people's enjoyment, man's best friend. We have dogs that just run the streets, right? They run the streets there. Do you remember when Paul said, beware of dogs? You figure out that they would understand what he was saying because it's different when I walk through my neighborhood and when a stranger walks through my neighborhood. Rebecca's parents came to Albania. When they were in Albania, I asked him, I said, Dennis, I said, how did you sleep? He said, oh, Brother Mike, he said, those dogs barked all night. He's on the balcony and he's looking down and he says, oh, there he is. That's the one that kept me up all night. I could tell he's barking now. Okay. Paul said, beware of what?
Dogs.
Beware of dogs, right? Because, right, he's knowing that they would understand that through their neighborhood, when strangers come, beware of it. When strange doctrine comes, beware of it. And so the Greek tells us here, the example that it gives is the relationship between a master and what it says there, it says to lick. Isn't that correct? I better check it, right? To lick. And you're wondering, what is this worship to lick? It's showing the humiliation of one and the exaltation of another. Later, Jesus uses in the book of Luke. Luke writes to us that when he was being worshipped or wanted to show it, there would be someone kissing him. And in chapter 7, verse number 45, he tells him, Simon, he says, I've entered your house and you have given me no what? No kiss. In other words, you've given me more than respect. Simon, you've given me no worship. Wow. Wow. So the place for the disciples, right? There's the place and the reason that they were together was to worship Christ. And then he goes on to tell us about his power. We got to move along, right? He says to us in verse number 18, let's read that together, okay? Can we read that? And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Very good. And we realize that all power is given to the Lord in heaven and earth. We realize that the disciples, they would understand that this power was given to Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, and being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, what happens here? What does God do? Wherefore, verse number 9, God also hath highly exalted him and given him name that is above every name. So the disciples learned the magnitude of the Lord's power. And if you can understand the magnitude of the Lord's power, that is a great concept just to dwell on. We think of the Lord's power. He had power to rule, number one, individually. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He had power to rule globally. Imagine the Lord still has power to rule globally. There's nothing that God cannot do with his power. Even politically, we feel like everything is low. We feel like all these refugees, we feel like our world is chaotic. Remember, the Lord still is ruling globally. Amen. He really is. And Mark chapter 16 and verse number 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And what really is happening here, he is sitting in a place, a position of authority and power. He also had power to forgive man's sins. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 6. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise and take up thy bed and go unto thine house. Here it is, right? The disciples meeting together for worship. And the Lord tells them, I have all power. What does that mean? Some years ago, there was a parade. You know, it was not our usual parades with tractors pulling floats. It was floats going by themselves. And as these floats moved along, one of those floats ran out of gas in their engine. Wow. Stopped it all up, and the rest of the floats were delayed, right? And you know how they like the gaps in between of there, right? They don't like that at all, right? Realizing that that float had run out of fuel, run out of power. The funny thing is, it was the Standard Oil Company float. Right? And the Lord says to the disciples, don't run out of power to do what you do. You are a Christian. You are one to be empowered. You are one to understand that I have great power. And maybe those four students are AWOL, Pastor. Pastor Roberts, you just never know, do you? So we have the place, we have the power, and lastly, we have the plan of the Lord here. The plan, right? Verses 19 and 20. Can we read that together? Let's read verse 19 and 20 together, shall we? Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. This is packed. In a few minutes here, we'll give some, and we will continue on to the prayer time. But the word is to make disciples. It's helping someone to progressively learn the word of God, to become matured, to grow as a disciple, to become a learner of Christ. And Matthew Henry states, he says, do your utmost to make the nation Christian nations. And considering what we're considering and understanding what we're understanding, the nations do need to become Christian nations, don't they? They absolutely need the gospel in every area. I am appalled by the fact that Saudi Arabia has taken in zero of these refugees. One who has all that ability. But boy, that just overwhelms my mind and my heart that they have taken zero of the refugees that have all tried to go to Europe, and Europe gets blamed for not helping when they're shouldering most of the cause there, most of the refugees there. But anyway, continue on. He says, go to the nations, but go and disciple them. The work of the apostles had to do was to set up Christian religion at all places, you understand, relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm sure. And it was an honorable work. The achievements of the ancients and the achievements of those today as well, I could put in there as well. Achievements like Alexander the Great, some of them. Listen what Matthew Henry says. Mighty heroes of the world were nothing. They conquered the nations for themselves and made the people miserable. But watch this. Watch this part. The apostles conquered them for Christ and made them happy. How about when you were saved? Do you remember being happy? Wow. Your sin forgiven. Realizing you have eternal life in heaven. What a great thought, isn't it? Just a great, great, overwhelming thought to believe that you and I have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And that we, you know, I don't know, maybe you have, but have you ever seen someone, you seen and led someone to Christ, saw them baptized, and then saw them discipled to the point which Jesus is talking about, the point of maturity? If you have never experienced that, that's something you'll miss out in this Christian life, and you might want to get busy on that to understand how great that is and what a task that really is. It is a wonderful, wonderful work of the Lord in both your life and the individual's life. Harry Ironside says, it is He, Jesus Himself, who is the general director of the missionary program of this age. And I'm going to give you one more thought here before we close this up. And it's this. If you look with me in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The word observe is a very interesting word. It has to do with keeping or guarding. You may have heard of the drug lord El Chapo. Have you heard that from Mexico? That great, you know, he was able to escape. He escaped the maximum security prison by lifting up the shower and the bottom of the shower, the porcelain. And he climbs down through a tunnel and he jumps on a motorcycle and whoa, he goes away. The guard did not observe. He allowed it to escape, or the man to escape. Now watch this though. The guard is the strength. Then the scripture tells us, or gives to us in its original state, teaching them to observe. Guard, but guard what? And my daughter's here, and it's like a father guarding his daughter's purity. The scripture is pure. The doctrines that you've learned here are pure. These are pure doctrines. The strength of the guard to guard it, what you have, because you have something very beautiful and pure. And to give it to another person, right, and to make sure that person realizes, is what we need to do. That's part of what we need to do. This, in fact, is, I don't know if you've thought of it this way, but this is your Galilee. Here is your shepherd. This is your doctrine. And then we are to bring it all around the world. Guard it like a guard, and keep it pure. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that what we've said tonight is taking place all around the world. Somebody right now is probably somewhere in this world receiving a gospel tract. Somebody might be witnessing. And I pray, Father, that you would help them and lead them, help that individual, whoever's witnessing, to lead them to Christ. Probably somewhere around the world, someone else is being baptized. And Lord, I pray that the great picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ would be shown through that. Lord, someone else may be coming to that point of maturity where they have observed all things. I pray that you would help them to keep it like a strong guard and keep that pure doctrine in their lives. Lord, I pray for the church here and I thank you for them. And I pray that you would raise up other people that would be prepared, just as this lady Heather was so prepared to play the piano for your glory. May we be prepared to reach this world, Lord. And before I close, Lord, please be with Brother Kinesen and his heart, his mind, his emotion, all that's going through him. Lord, help him to reach people that would be able to reach others and fulfill what is taking place right here in this passage. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.